Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
In long-running soaps, you think it's the twisty plots that keep viewers hooked, but it's as much about the characters as if there's one thing soaps are notable for. It's their ability to bring back popular characters, even if they're dead in some instances. Home and Away is the latest show to do this, with Daryl Braxton and Ricky Sharp due to make a comeback. Jessica Shine from MTU Munster is totally excited about it. Afternoon, Jessica.
How are things? Good. Yeah, very excited about Brax being back.
Yeah, and why? What was it about Brax that got people excited again about him coming back to the show?
Well, he kind of changed. Well, himself and family, the whole River Boys thing, that blood and sand tattoo, sort of changed the direction of Home and Away a lot. You know, I think, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine now, but when Home and Away started close to like 40 years ago, on RTE, it was seen as a little bit edgy, and that edginess was sort of the romance of things. You know, you had like Angel and Shane and things, and you had Pippa, who had, you know, foster children, and they would have been bold, right? Some of them would have been bold in school. But it quickly, you know, became out of date a little bit. You know, kissing on daytime television or in early evening television wasn't seen as kind of edgy anymore. And then you had the introduction of this, effectively a criminal gang. But they were nice criminals, you know. They were very loyal to each other. You know, they showed empathy, remorse. They were caring. And they had these kind of like relationships. You know, there was one, I think, between Brax and Charlie, the policewoman. There was another one with his brother and the school principal. And, you know, you had these kind of relationships between characters across the great divide of culture and things. So, you know, all the drama that came with their criminal activities, I think it was kidnappings, fires, all of that kind of stuff. But also they were just marketed on the sort of nice side of things, which made them very attractive, you know.
Yeah. OK. And so why did they leave the show? Or presumably some producers made a decision to get rid of them out of the show.
Well, I think, you know, with all soaps, you know, things come to an end. I know Alf has just left. I think he left last year. And Ray Maher, of course, was one of the, you know, I think if you go on Reddit and you look up Alf as the character, you know, they're like, Summer Bay can't exist without him. But, you know, all good things do have to come to an end. And you'll see that in long-running soaps like EastEnders, Coronation Street. I mean, you can't imagine EastEnders, or you couldn't have imagined EastEnders 15 years ago without the Mitchell twins, right? But they get written out, they get written back in. And like you said, sometimes dead characters do come back. You do need to have some sort of change of the guard with soaps to keep people interested, because there's only so many storylines a person can live through without people getting a bit tired of it, or without people getting a bit bored of it. And you want to inject in new energy, and sometimes giving people a long break and then bringing them back in, you know, re-garners that sort of fire in people. And you'll see that quite a bit in, you know, rewaking television series that have gone off as well, rebooting TV series in the past and things. So there's this kind of cyclical nature to things. Let things die out a little bit and then bring them back in. That's a very successful strategy for soaps.
Yeah. But so people's, you know, like a diehard fan's relationship with a soap then isn't so much is it anything to do with I find these people relatable, that my community
yes,
is like that community I'm seeing on screen?
It's a combination of two things, Sean, to be honest, right? So sometimes, like, you know, lots and lots and lots of soap operas have characters that are just like you, and that's on purpose. But, you know, nobody really wants to watch just themselves, so it's quite nice to have characters that are not like you, right? Because yeah. They'll hook you in with a character that you might relate to, and then maybe expose you to someone that's a little bit edgy, a little bit dangerous. And, you know, you had Dirty Den in EastEnders, right? Mm. You know, most of us don't know a Dirty Den or don't want to be a Dirty Den, and it's lovely to get, you know, access to that kind of excitement. And Brax and his brothers kind of fitted that in, right? Very, very few people who are watching Home and Away genuinely know a criminal gang, right? It's not something we're going to be exposed to. But we knew other people in the show. We knew people like Marilyn. We knew like Don, the principal. You know an Alf. You know a Pippa. You know, so you have enough people go, oh man, imagine if this kind of excitement existed in my life. And you get to make it relatable because you have these anchor characters that you relate to. And they do that as well in Home and Away and in shows like Coronation Street and EastEnders by giving you age groups of characters as well. You know, you have older characters, you have middle-aged characters, you have young parents, and you have teenagers, right? So you get the full kind of gamut of the family there to watch. And that's to do with the timings as well of these kind of shows. They're often on at dinner time, tea time, or they're on at lunchtime, right? So you get like groups of people who might be quite different. You might have housewives and students at lunchtime, and then you might have, or people working from home actually, and then you have, you know, families in the evening time after 6:30 or whatever, just when dinner is kind of finished and people are sitting down to watch something, and there's something for everyone there. And Brax and his brothers, Heath and those kind of things, became Daryl Heath, and I can't remember the last brother's name. They became sort of like this, oh, edgy, imagine if they live near us, kind of excitement. And imagine if there was fires, you know, near us. Imagine if there was kidnappings. And Coronation Street does those kind of things too. But Home and Away was just that much more exotic. You know, very few characters in Manchester are able to walk around in shorts and no t-shirts on, right? It's grim in Manchester, like the weather, you know, like it is here in Ireland. So you had this exotic thing with these criminals in Home and Away. They were wearing, you know, flip-flops and just board shorts and nothing else. And they were heavily tattooed and they were surfing in the, you know, the afternoon and then, you know, messing stuff up in the evening. And it was all very exciting.
Yeah. No, presumably, though, the producers of Home and Away are relying on there's a certain still enough of a segment of the audience who were watching it 10 years ago who will even remember who these people are.
The weird thing about the thing is that Home and Away kind of lived on outside of Home and Away. It became this kind of cultural, you know, it became this cultural touch point. You know, people go on Home and Away tours in Australia. A huge number of Irish people now know somebody directly from their family living in Australia. And there's this kind of cultural touchstone with that, even if you've never watched Home and Away. And a huge number of us, like, you know, I'm not going to give away my age on national radio, but, you know, of a certain age would remember when Brax and his brothers and people like Alf as well came to Cork, came to Kerry, went to nightclub tours.
somebody's just texted it, Jessica, to say, I met him in Tullamore in 2012. So there you go. Brax was terrorising Tullamore.
And you had Alf serving pints in Cork and being struth and, you know, being rude to customers on purpose as a joke. And, you know, that's a very common thing, these kind of what we might call parasocial relationships that people build up. And, you know, for Home and Away, it was very tactile. It was very in person. But lots and lots of television series now have a thing like called Cameo. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like an app where you can get your favorite soap star to say, like, hello to you, happy birthday, do something for somebody's birthday. Or you have people, you know, following like David, Jack Shepherd, the bass part of David in Coronation Street, following his Instagram, you know, millions and millions of followers for his daily life. So we create these bonds with these characters even long after you stop watching the show. So I think you'll reignite an awful lot of people maybe in their 30s and their 40s to go back and watch Home and Away. And now you don't need to be, you know, glued to the television at 1:15 or at 6:30 because it's freely available for people to stream that, right, on things like RT Player or whatever, you know. So people can dip in now at their own leisure, which is really, really, I think, going to see people probably rock up to watch it in 2026 when he reemerges on Summer Bay.
Jessica, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Jessica Shine there, from the Media Communications Department of MTU Munster Technological University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.